Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello and welcome to Reality TV. As always, I'm your host, Jody, and today you are getting really an early Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Chrismukka, whatever you celebrate. Here is your gift from me to you. Stay tuned for the second half of the show because I have the best guest that Reality TV ever has seen, ever will see. He's got talent, smarts, good looks, great dancer, even better voice, voice of an angel, really, Ebron R. Stanley. You know him and you love him as Hercules Mulligan and James Madison in the Chicago production of Hamilton, and he is here today to break down Love After Lockup with me. What have I done to deserve this? It's going to be so incredible, so make sure you stick around. But first, let's dive into the shallow end of the news. Well, good news is I survived a vicious animal invasion in my backyard. Now, this might not sound like a big deal to you, but when you have a possum the size of, dare I say, a small grizzly, you are going to really feel like a hero, okay? I went out there with a bottle of Windex with no intention to actually spray the thing. It was just in case it, I don't know, sprung at me like a spider monkey or something. Okay, it was my only line of defense. I also had a flashlight just to see where it was, but once I shined a light on this possum, it scared the shit out of me because its eyes glowed and its mouth was agape. Like it was silently hissing or roaring. It was probably more of a roar. Because that's what bears do, right? Roar, growl, whatever. Well, here's the thing that happened. Scout needed to go out, so I opened the door, and as soon as she bolted out, at first I thought it was like a bunny or a squirrel, which she never catches because they're smaller, they're faster. But I saw a creature that was 17 times her size in my eyes, okay? It might have been average size, but I saw a grizzly. It started running. It ran under this little overhang thing on our house. So, of course, I had to get the dog back inside. I'm dangling salami. Come on, Scout. Perfectly good charcuterie I'm tempting my dog back inside with. And so I went out there. I spotted the thing under the house. And then I was like, shit, how are we going to get Scout to go outside? I'm not going to let her out there when this thing could attack her. So, of course, I told Dave that he needed to go get rid of it. He went out with, not Windex, he went out with an old piece of baseboard molding, like 9 feet long, and he thought he was going to like wedge it in order to scoot the thing out, but it didn't budge. In case you didn't know, possums, or do you call them opossums, whatever, they can curl up into a very small size. And did I mention they can growl and open up their mouth? So this was a good 2 hours of us trying to figure out where this possum was going and Googling, do possums like light? How do you get rid of possums? Spoiler, you leave them alone and then they go away. But my daughter, she decided that it would be a great opportunity to make a documentary. And during said documentary, she took snapshots of me and it legitimately looks like I am a Sasquatch. I'm outside in the dark with the Sasquatch walk going on. And she thought it was hilarious. And after my adrenaline settled down, I thought it was pretty hilarious too. If you want to go see the pictures of me battling a Goliath, go and take a look on Instagram and Twitter. But I'm here. I survived. It's an early Christmas miracle. Now, it was also a miracle of sorts that on the treadmill this morning, I was watching the news, watching all the TV shows. Trisha Yearwood needs to get the fuck out of here with her cooking show because they can't take it anymore. But on some, it must have been a news channel, there was a report that eating banana peels, like the yellow banana peel that you see monkeys peeling off, If you eat them, it helps you sleep better and lose weight. And I instantly turned down my treadmill so I could read what was going on the screen. And then I became infuriated because no shit, anyone's going to be sleeping like a baby after you're up vomiting for an hour or two straight after eating a raw banana peel. And of course you're going to lose weight when you've got like a half pound of barely masticated peel in your stomach. This is taking the paleo diet or eating like a caveman and orangutans way too far. You just eat the banana with the peanut butter, just like the Lord God himself and Oprah intended. Now, another scientific study that I came across reading the UK Daily Mail was this apple called Cosmic Crisp. It's a new ultra crisp variety of apple that keeps fresh in the fridge for 12 months. Yes, it has finally gone on sale in the US after more than 20 years in development. Now, you know how I like to break things down and back it up a few steps. Let's think about this. Now, beside the fact that this was Clark Griswold's exact job in Christmas Vacation, it truly was, people spent 20 years trying to figure out this variety of apple that keeps fresh for 12 months. Ugh, is this really a problem? I mean, we got cancer, AIDS, the freaking common cold. We can't solve that first. No. We need an apple that can last in our fridge until one feels guilty or desperate enough to eat it. This is what we've come to. And I hate to break it to these scientists who spent the last 20 years doing this. My own mom invented this apple a good 40 plus years ago. It's called a Red Delicious apple, and you are going to eat the damn apple when she says to eat it. A little bruise on there, a little nick, a little scrape, you eat around it, or you put it back in the bowl until your brother or sister gets it in their lunch the next day when it's thrown in the bottom. Where is Carol's Einstein Award, really? We would have had a much better childhood, I'll tell you that. We would have really been living like the Huxtables. We used to get that threat. Why aren't you guys like the Huxtable kids? Well, my mom and dad were not an obstetrician or a lawyer or the inventor of the Cosmic Crisp apple. And beware, you guys, if you go into the grocery store and you pick up a Cosmic Crisp, if it's lasting 12 months in your fridge, how long has it been circling through the science fair circuit until we got to this point? You could be bringing home an apple that's like 8 months old. I mean, I'm down for some fermented grapes, but it better be in a bottle and it better say Pinot Noir. All right, well, how about we dive into 90 Day Fiancé because I'm super excited to talk to Ebrin. Let's get into it. Let's start with Anna and Marcel. Can someone please explain the ever-changing split-level home to me? I don't get it. Every other week, we go from split-level house to ranch, and it does not make any sort of sense because there is clearly a front door and a kitchen in the ranch. Remember, this was the episode where they ordered the pizza, Marcel didn't like it. And then in this latest episode, she's in a classic split-level. Doesn't make any sort of sense to me. Neither does the geometric honeycomb thing that Marcel is building. What the fuck was that? She told him a honeycomb, a large honeycomb structure for an altar, whatever the hell. I was so ready for like my itch to be scratched for a geometric, symmetrical sort of thing to be happening. And we walk outside and we just see a disaster. I mean, how does that happen? I am not a beekeeper, but I know that the hexagons all match up. And his was scooted to the left, scooted to the right, a little up, a little down. No. I mean, the beauty of geometry is that it is symmetrical. It fits perfectly together. It should be like a Vern Yip level execution for anyone to put that together. But no, what did we get? A wonky ass version of a few hexagons stapled together. Get the fuck out of America with that. For that and that alone, he should be deported. I hate Marcel. I hate him. There, I said it. I mean, sure, he's coming off as kind of close-minded. Maybe he hates children. But what I take most offense to is him ignoring nature's symmetry. He really needs a kick to his little teeny tiny honey hive immediately. And Anna, I mean, I should like her on the flip side since I hate him, but what the hell does she mean she didn't think it was gonna be this hard? You don't speak the same language. And Anna thinking her 13-year-old, who probably only knows how to, I don't know, TikTok language or Fortnite lingo, like he's suddenly gonna become fluent in Turkish and he and Marcel are gonna be best buddies and they're all gonna live happily ever after. Absolutely not. There is something dark in this relationship. There's something dark about Marcel. It's bubbling under the surface. That little boyish smile, no, I don't like it. He seems very controlling. It's going to go down in a blaze of honeycomb glory. And at the very least, I object to this wedding because I hated her wedding dress. All right, moving on to Michael and Juliana. Oh, unexpected twist. Michael is taking Juliana out for a little spin in his midlife crisis slash penis pump while his adorable kids are going to hang back. They're going to bond, wrestle, probably make some slime and get that shit stuck into all the shag area rugs he has. Trust me, that's what happens when you leave two kids home alone. Now, Michael also thinks Juliana has an amazing quality for a woman. What's that? Oh, she can drive stick shift. Well, fine. I see how it's going to be, Michael. I mean, not all of us can be perfect in your eyes, all right? I mean, sure, some of us would love to turn back the hands of time, go back to high school and not break the driving simulator, or have your driver's ed teacher tell you to never buy a manual or live in a big city because you'll never be able to parallel park it, even if your life depends on it. But we have other qualities like wiggling my ears. I mean, our ears. Some of us can sing with our mouths closed. Yeah, you like what you're hearing. Remembering phone numbers, your childhood friends' home phone numbers, knowing how to make a collect call without making your parents pay for it. Mom, it's Jody. Come pick me up. So there, Juliana, Miss Perfect. Try to top that, atop that, Teen Witch. All right, so then Michael drags Juliana to this furniture store. He's got her on, like, May's backpack leash, and they're going to shop for all this new furniture for their new house. Yeah, right. Again, I don't think he's as money bags as he says he is. And he's got to ease up on that grip. Jesus, Nicole. I mean, it's fine if you are holding hands with your partner, but he was, like, gripping her forearm, fingers intertwined. I don't like that. I don't want someone's armpit rubbing up against mine. My armpits need to breathe. You gotta move out, soldier. Move away and move on. But finally, they find the ugliest fucking couch on the planet. I doubt that that couch was even new because that sectional absolutely was straight out of my basement on Brentwood Lane, 89 through... what, 96? It's that ugly, bold pattern. I think we all had this sectional. It got sent to the dump and they picked up individual pieces from all of our sectionals, put them back together. It looked like it had been puked on. It looked like it had, I don't know, a lot of dampness, a lot of moisture in there. In the style, it was called Chinese stained. No. That is just straight up from the dumpster. I mean, if that's in style, someone better call, what's his face, Eric and Lita. Remember those two? Tell them that their futon could be worth thousands at this point because that vomit-stained couch was $14,000. What kind of BS place is this? You know, I think Walter E. Smith and Ethan Allen, it's nice furniture, but damn, it's overpriced. This place is a whole other level. It's like... Maria, Caesar's Maria is running this place and she's just robbing people blind. All right, now Juliana, let's just talk about her for a minute. I think she seems sweet, but she certainly has a sneaky side. She's not stupid and that naive. Michael is the naive one. He thinks Juliana bought the car because she doubted their relationship in the visa process. Right. Like, she didn't plan at all to buy the car and leave it for her family so that they could have something nice. No, not at all. She just bought the car because she was heartbroken. Jesus. I mean, ask the kids. They absolutely know what's up. They're filling her in on SpongeBob. They'll fill in old Papa Mike on how Uber works. All right, now let's talk about the worst couple to probably ever be on 90 Day Fiancé. And of course, I'm going to say that every single season because there's always an asshole couple. But this season, for sure, we can all agree it's Tanya and Sinjin. Not so much Sinjin. Tanya's the worst. This bitch, first shot of her, literally 3 seconds into their scene, Tanya has Sinjin by his neck in the car. You know how many don't get kidnapped by ISIS videos I've seen where this is the exact shit they show? And here we've got Tanya stateside performing her own relationship boot camp with Sinjin as the victim. And in case you're saying, oh, Jody, you didn't look up those videos. I absolutely did when Dave started traveling overseas into like Middle East, Dubai. I know it's all safe and everything now, but I went down a deep hole and I'm telling you, there is a neck grip. Tanya probably learned it at her witch doctor place, which we're going to get to in a second because this bitch is crazy. It makes you wonder, is she really that good in the sack that allows Sinjin to put up with this level of crazy? Because when I see a chick with boobs 9 inches lower than where they should be or could be, I will guarantee you, I will put it in writing that that chick has a hoarded house. It's a very simple equation. Because if you're comfortable with your boobs sweaty and dangling to and fro like that, you are fine with power tools and cat piss in your Eden bathroom. It's a very simple equation. E equals MC squared, done. Now, before I offend anyone, if you have either of those said indicators, breasts or cat piss in your Eden bathroom, let's move on to Grandma Tanya's house. Save that Papa's on chair for the guest. The whole family is there to greet the happy-ish couple. And the grandma seemed funny. I liked her. I would have liked to see more of her. Definitely would like to have a cocktail or several with her. Maybe even the sister, not the brother-in-law, the nephew, leave the babies at home. Tanya's mom, who I'm gonna call Roxanne because she looks like one or close enough. I want to have some drinks with her too because we need to know what the hell is going on with Tanya. I want to get to the bottom of what gives her the right to take herself and her plaque-covered teeth and her nasty, unbrushed hair, fly off to Costa Rica for a month to learn herbalism. And you know what might be a better investment, Tanya? A better investment for your future with Sinjin? Oh, I don't know. Maybe spend time with him, get to know him. That is what the 90 days is literally designed for. Spend 90 days together. It's not for her to just take off for 30 days, leave Sinjin with a huge list of honeydews and DIY projects because you know sure as shit she did that. She's going to flit around in Costa Rica and learn how to pick dandelions and shit and prescribe tea tree oil while this guy's back here dealing with his in-laws who he's not even technically in law with. And I just hate that Tanya's that type of girl that gets in a relationship and then just lets it all go. I'm not saying you have to be putting on makeup for your man and all that bullshit, but you could at least, I don't know, shower or brush your teeth. She's nasty. All right, let's move on to Mike and Natalie. Wow, the internet seems to love this couple and is rooting for them, but I don't know. There's something in Natalie's eyes that are screaming crazy. They remind me of Runaway Bride. Like when you could see the whites all around the, what is that, pupil, iris, whatever. Something's going on. Now, finally, Mike came to Ukraine. Whew, phew. That was a close one from Natalie. I thought I was going to have to, I don't know, renew my confirmation promise and hit up a confessional when she started at finally Mike came. I mean, that would for sure mean that my mom could never listen to this podcast if she figured out how to turn on her phone and download a podcast app. But anyhow, here we are. They're together in the Ukraine. Natalie is heating up tomatoes. Very interesting dish. I love tomatoes, but I don't know what the hell she was doing with them. And Mike's main goal in this scene was to tell everyone who is watching that he had sex. Now, it's too bad he didn't also put a little time and energy and thought into purchasing some zit stickers maybe get Dr. Pimple Popper. She's on TLC too. Get her on speed dial because boy had some huge whiteheads in his nose creases. Even I wanted to get my hands on them. Yeah, they were that bad. I mean, I don't even like touching my own face, and I want to get in there and help this guy out. All right, so after this exfoliation-free evening of sex and tomatoes, Natalie peels her eyelids back, crazy eyes, and tries to put Mike into what I can only describe as a trance. She thinks she can convince him to get her pregnant because she wants a kid now. She doesn't see any reason why she can't be pregnant while she waits for a visa. But Mike, on the other hand, doesn't want a baby because he has a, quote, few things he wants to handle, namely Visa, MasterCard, probably an overextended credit line at like Sears, Napa Auto Parts, a Farman fleet. Yeah, those are big things that you should be telling Natalie because I can kind of see from her perspective, what's the wait? If everything's ready to go, let's go. Those little things, not so little. That's what she said. Now jump to dinner with Svetlana. This is Natalie's friend, where we find out that Mike doesn't believe in God, but he strongly believes in aliens. Like, he's really into the alien thing. And he thinks that's how the Bible and shit came to be, that people thought aliens and spaceships were clouds or something. I don't know. I hope Tom Cruise was watching because I think he's found the next generation of Scientology ambassadors. Now, there was some stupid running scene with the two of them in the park. I thought it was really lame. I thought they were having a perfectly good time. Mike was being a really good sport. I certainly do not want to be running on camera. You got to be freaking kidding me. I catch a glimpse of myself in a mirror running, and I think, I probably think that I'm the fucking grizzly bear possum in my backyard. But Natalie somehow turned this perfectly good afternoon into a poor me drama queen thing with the big eyes, and it's starting to bug me. That whole boohoo little girl look up at him and go, love. No, something's gonna go down in an evil, bug-eyed blaze of glory. All right, moving on to Emily and Sasha from Volgograd, Russia. That will never get old. I find myself saying that just throughout the day. I'll look at something and just go, Volgograd, Russia. It's very satisfying. It's kind of like the new Zen, like the new Om. That's my mantra. Volgograd, Russia. Oh, where was I? Okay, I wrote down Emily is officially an alien. Oh, I know why. Maybe I was thinking of Mike or something. She walked out of a Russian hospital where it's like people are wearing face masks, okay? And what is this bitch wearing? Knee-high boots, nylons, and a mini skirt. Postpartum bleed much? Sorry, guys, but listen, I'm one of the very few women who feels amazing after giving birth. Like, I feel better after giving birth than I do any other day of my life. Like, I was up and at them, walking the halls hours after, because I'm clinically crazy, all right? But nylons? Like, wouldn't the mesh undies that the hospital gives you and the nylons get confused with each other and things would end up getting tussled around down there? You know what I mean? And if that weren't enough, we got Cyclops. That's Sasha, by the way. He's like the Russian Channing Tatum, who is ugly as fuck, you guys. He's a Cyclops. He's not fully evolved. That's a whole other episode, but trust me on this. Russian Cyclops tells Emily she's got to climb her ass into the back of a two-door compact car. Torn hole, C-section wound. I'm sorry I have to be this graphic, but we all have to understand how ridiculous that was. Think about how bad the Russian hospitals must be, even worse than what we saw, worse than what we thought, if Emily was enthusiastic to get on the boots and the nylons and hop into the backseat of the car. Like, this was breaking free for her. This was a highlight of the hospital stay, is to leave and jump into a fucking clown car. Now, let's cut sharply to this weird little home video scene where Sasha is wearing nothing but underwear, playing with the baby. I don't understand that because they just said it was -1 degrees outside, and here we have this douche laying there in his undies. It's obviously because he thinks he's the hottest shit in Russia. He's getting his film time. And Emily basically agrees with us at this point because he lied about getting his passport. He never even applied for it. So she could have been at home in the States with her family, with her baby, and not in Volgograd for 3-4 months. But instead, she's been stuck there for 6 months with baby Dave in his ginormous, chewable ham hock legs. Like, those were some massive, meaty baby legs. And I'm not dissing him. I'm not body shaming a baby. I'm saying those are the baby legs that I wish my kids had because I would have chewed on them like a freaking turkey bone, which I can't really eat turkey off the bone. It's pretty gross. Anyhow, right, we're happy. It's 3 days till they leave for the U.S. And Emily's so happy. So, so happy. Sasha's the greatest father ever. How's that karma working out for you, Emily? Bet you're seeing where Masha and Masha number two are coming from now, huh? They weren't the crazy ex-wives like he made them out to be. This is going to be very interesting how this shakes out with the two of them because Sasha breaks down like a little baby bitch next episode and he doesn't want to leave his mommy. All right. Robert and Annie. There is trouble in paradise. Oh, sorry. I meant Winter Park, Florida, which appears to consist of only Robert's weird apartment complex and a strip mall, like one strip mall in the apartment complex. I'm sorry, Winter Park. Sorry for all of you in Florida, actually, because you guys have quite the population. But Winter Park, I think Robert and Annie are doing you wrong. Now, surprise to no one, Annie and Robert are both miserable because neither of them really presented who they really were during that whopping 8-hour courtship and a few Skype calls together. So they decide that they're going to get to know each other, fight things out in the ring, and go to a boxing class because producers were probably looking to film them anywhere other than inside the apartment with Bryson climbing all over people like a freaking spider monkey. And this is where Apollo from Real Housewives of Atlanta enters the scene, or at least it's his Latino doppelganger. The guy was hot, he spoke Spanish, and that immediately made Robert skeptical. This entire scene I loved, of course, because the guy was hot, but also Robert's facial expressions. He cannot hide his feelings because his face gives it away. To me, that scene was a classic SNL sketch. Like, you're watching Robert watch Annie and Apollo together, and you can see just the very slow processing happening in Robert's brain. Is she hitting on him? Is he hitting on her? What did she say about Facebook? It was just, it was perfection. Oh, and speaking of SNL, did you guys see the scene that they took out of SNL with Will Ferrell? He was doing really a Caesar impersonation. If you didn't see it, just Google SNL 90 Day Fiancé or SNL Will Ferrell sketches. Perfect. And this would be the perfect scene for them to do because Robert's face, oh, he's just got like a very good, dumb, slow face. It was amazing. And then lunch with the in-laws. I mean, besides the fact that she's a porn star, I think that's why everyone thinks it's so great to watch this. It was really just boring. It was like watching someone with their former in-laws. They're talking about the kids, and she apologized slightly for asking Annie about her birth control, but like she said, she really wasn't sorry. I understand where she's coming from. It was stupid to ask. You can hold off or, I don't know, ask Robert instead of asking her, but I just kind of find that whole part of the story boring. For sure, they would have left that out if she weren't a porn star, right? All right, let's move on to Jasmine and Blake, our newest couple. Now, Jasmine fell asleep last night because she was very tired and also because she doesn't want Blake to touch her. But Blake stayed up late playing with his little wooden toy thing. And despite the fact that I think Blake is mentally 11 and Jasmine is mentally all about herself, this couple is just weird. What stands out to me about them is that they've spent time together. They've been together for a while, I think, right? He's visited her a few times, but now it seems like they've never met each other. They don't even know each other. She doesn't want to be with him, or she wants to be with him just so she can move to the U.S., right? To be with the lookalike sister. But here's the thing about that. Even if that's the case, that you're scamming him, couldn't you try a little bit harder in the scam? I mean, ideally, you don't scam anyone at all. You're a good person. But if you're going to scam, isn't scamming 101 to convince the friends and family, have them take a liking to you, they trust you? But no, Jasmine's just flipping the script. She's the scammer who gives zero fucks. She's like the Erica Jane of Finnish fiancés. Now, then we get to this dinner. Yikes. We find out she doesn't like to talk when she eats. She likes to eat all her food and then talk later. All right, let's break this down. I, too, like to inhale my food, and don't interrupt me unless you're going to ask me if I want more. You're going to give me the rest of your food. But this is a new relationship. That's when you pretend that you exist on, like, oxygen and hearts in rainbows, maybe some iced tea and romaine lettuce. But this chick is blowing the rules way out of the water. She wants Blake to just stare at her with her inner tube lips eating a bite of risotto. I mean, how do you even do that? Get like 2 grains on there? You scoop that shit and you shove it in your mouth. That whole scene with the eating made her even more Looney Tunes than she was before. I mean, if you're not into a guy, I would think you would want to be talking. You wouldn't want him staring at you while you're eating, right? That would make it even worse. She makes no sense. I'm fully invested in the relationship, finding out what's going to happen. And I know you are going to be fully invested in our next segment with Ebrin. We'll be talking about love after lockup. Stick around for a quick word from my sponsor this week, Thrive Cosmetics, and I'll be right back. I was beyond thrilled when Thrive Cosmetics wanted to sponsor the one and only Reality TV, because one of my favorite beauty products I bought a few months ago on my own is their Brilliant Eye Brightener. I use the shade Stella. I wear it every day, no lie, and I am not going to lie to you, I was psyched to try some of their new products. What drew me to purchase Thrive Cosmetics on my own in the first place was their Bigger Than Beauty mission. With every single purchase you make, Thrive Cosmetics gives back to a huge variety of women-centered causes aimed to uplift and empower women, all non-for-profit organizations. More on that in a moment, but what about the products, right? First of all, this is high-performance stuff. The pigments don't fade or flake, and the eye brightener that I mentioned stays on all day. It has a slightly dewy finish, so you don't get that caked on look. And this mascara that I tried, it is no joke. Normally, I have 2 go-to mascaras that I love, but Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions is totally different, and I am obsessed. Go look at the reviews for yourself, which you know I did because I love a deep dive and I stalk my prey before I purchase it. Believe the reviews. I haven't had the slightest shadow under my eyes that I normally have after wearing my usual mascara all day. I even put it to the test. I applied it to my lower lashes, which we all know is super risky, but not a hint of smudging, no flaking. If you don't believe me, I will post a picture on Instagram. Trust me on this one. You're getting high performance products that support women via organizations like the National Ovarian Cancer Coalition, Upward Bound House, Hope House, and you know I have a soft space in my heart for women veterans because my girl Carrie, they donate to the Foundation for Women Warriors, Disabled American Veterans, Yorktown, Downtown Women's Center LA, and the American Red Cross for the Los Angeles region, just to name a few. Start thriving and help women in need today by going to thrivecosmetics.com/realityTV and use code RealityTV for 15% off your first purchase. That's Thrive, C-A-U-S-E, medics.com/realityTV using code RealityTV for 15% off. thrivecosmetics.com/realityTV, promo code RealityTV. Hello, welcome back from a very short break. I have with me the one and only Ebrin R. Stanley. He's the star, the star in Hamilton here in Chicago. He plays Hercules Mulligan, and when you knock him back down, he gets the fuck back up again. He also plays James Madison, of course. He's also made me the coolest mom ever and the 30-something woman in the Western burbs that everyone wants to be right now. Welcome to Reality TV, Ebrin.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Totally starstruck. I feel kind of like a creeper because if I was a very young tween mom, I could be your mother. So I'm like, oh my God, he's so good looking. And the first time Well, I mean, come on, you obviously know that. Because the first time I went to Hamilton, this is going to be my fourth time tomorrow that I'm bringing my
daughter.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm bringing you guys on stage afterwards, too. It's going to be fun.
Oh my God, I'm going to die. The first time was literally the very last row, way up in that balcony. And then we won the lottery ticket, so we got second row. Yes. And for other people who are not lucky enough to do that, if any time in your life you can get tickets close up, it really is life-changing when you see theater that close.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to be spat on more in my life.
And, I'm sure you got a lot of spit from me if you sat that close up.
Oh my gosh, don't even worry about it, because there is a woman behind me. I think she was about to fly like vagina first onto the stage. I mean, she was moaning, ooing, and eyeing at all of you guys. Like there was gonna be a fight. They're all like, he can get it. And I was like, Jesus, easy.
I will say we do have a very attractive cast closing this show out, so I get it. I don't know if I want vaginas being thrown on stage, but
I don't think you want her vagina. I'll just say that. I'm sure she was a very nice person, but yeah, we're much too old for you guys. But it's That's you guys are very good looking. Even the dancers, good God.
Yeah, no, they're off the chain, right? They are off the chain. Everybody is.
I think his name is Mikey, maybe.
Yeah, people love.
Holy shit, he is like hitting those moves, man. I mean, they all are, obviously, but yikes. Okay, so there was my fangirl moment.
Well, thank you.
But you are not just famous for Hamilton. You are also performing in shows all over Chicago. I know you said you sold out some shows, too, with your own original music. Yeah. And your newest album is For the Lovers and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, my debut album. So excited. It's been out for like a couple of months in September, so I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, and I do think, obviously you have a large kid following, and let me just put this disclaimer out here right now. If you are a child, I would say maybe this is an explicit podcast. There's a little thing. Go find where your Elf on the Shelf is. Finish your homework.
take an hour to do something else. Man. Take an hour to do something else real quick.
That's right. Go make your Christmas list for Santa. This album, I mean, kids can listen to it, but it really, it's a total difference from what you're hearing you sing in Hamilton.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It is. It's a little more for the grown and sexy, as I like to say. I do have like an old soul and an old school feel. So when I was doing this album, I really wanted to come out with something that you don't necessarily hear nowadays and just kind of give my old school something, a new mix. And, you know, I do have a song on there called Rockin' where if you got a loved one and y'all are feeling special, that's your jam. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, your sexy time music.
That's my sexy time music.
Heartbreaker is my favorite, though.
You know what? That one, that is the number one listened to song off the album.
Really?
I check the stats. Yeah, so I check the stats like every week. We're past like 5,000 something streams within like these last couple of months. So thank you to everybody.
Awesome. Can I play a little clip of it at the end?
Yes. Yes, please do. Please do. And Heartbreaker has been literally the number one song that is listened to. So I thank everybody. I'm shocked. Listen, when I first wrote that song, it started off as like a very sad, slow ballad type song. And then out of nowhere, I was just at my piano and I just came up with this pop thing. And my mixer engineer guy, he was like, wait, this is my favorite song. And he's not the type of guy who would like a pop song like that. But he does. And then it was a fan favorite for me. And then my girlfriend, it was a fan favorite for her and some of my best friends here. So before you know it, I was like, here it is. Heartbreak is the jam. That's the jam.
Yeah, that's perfect. Now, you also have another song because, all right, I like to do a little stalking light before I have guests. I saw that you had a song, The Promise.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like very heartwarming and it's a different feel than this album.
Yes. So I'm not tooting my own horn and I don't want to come off cocky or anything, but I am a musical theater nerd at heart. And so Promise is something totally, totally different. It's actually what I'm trying to do with the platform that I have is, you know, give my musical theater fans who know me for musical theater something and fulfill my own heart with that. And also give the fans that I know who likes to do a little more pop, R&B, secular music, give them that. Promise is my baby. Promise is a new musical that I'm working on. I'm trying to get this musical up and running in Chicago, hopefully next year. Yeah, it's my baby. And when I did that song, I'm probably going to play the lead in my own musical, Tutu Beep Beep. Like, I'm here for it.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you. Like, Promise was the first original song I ever came out with that I released to the public. It's actually the most listened to song on Apple Music collection that I have up there. So be on the lookout for more musical theater type songs like that. I have fallen in love with my piano all over again and making music like that. So we're coming out with more.
What's your favorite musical?
My favorite musical? Oh, Can I give you a quick top five? It's always hard to narrow it down. I'll give you a quick top five. In no particular order, Rent, ooh, Violet, In the Heights, Legally Blonde, and I'm all over the place. And then there's this musical called A Man of No Importance. Those are probably my top five.
Okay. Now, I have a friend, Amanda. She's going to be listening. We do another podcast together. And
hi, Amanda.
She's got another podcast, Amanda Loves the 18 Mom. She also was a musical theater major. She got her master's and everything in it. Now she's not so much in it, but she was in a whole bunch of them. She was in Seussical the Musical, which I know you were too.
I was in that. Yeah, I was in it.
She's like, you got to ask him if he was Wickersham or something.
Yeah, I was a Wickersham brother. I was probably Wickersham brother number three. And when I did that show, it was actually probably the most fun show I ever did in college because they just let us have fun. I mean, okay, we were a bunch of 20-something-year-old students.
Right.
Who were probably hung over a lot at these rehearsals.
So she's like, I think I was high during all my performances.
Yeah, so it was fun. It was fun. But Seussical is a different experience. I would advise anybody who drinks or does whatever they do to have a good time and go see that show if it's near you.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's what she said. And she's like, but the worst part was at the end when the kids would ask questions and she'd just be like, oh God.
Yeah. Because what do you say when you're grown and rhyming words for 3 hours?
Well, she's like, someone asked her, like, why are you purple? And she wanted to be like, fuck off. I don't know why I'm purple. Like, just let me go. But she was in Les Mis.
Oh, I was too.
She's like, I loved Les Mis until you're in it and you're doing it every single day. And then you're like, done.
Really?
No? I'm pretty sure that's what she said. But I think she had some crazy cast experience, like a lot of clickiness and behind the scenes drama.
I mean, granted, we did too when I did the show as well. I mean,
even the guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. We didn't. First of all, we didn't have a full tech week. And for people who don't know tech week, I'll give you a quick synopsis.
Yeah,
so tech week is when you're moving everything into the theater for the first time. And you know, we did not have a full tech before we opened. So like technically, our opening was a tech, but things just went completely wrong. But I had a great time doing the show. It's a beautiful music. I mean, so
that's one of my favorites. That's in my top five. I love Les Mis.
Did you see it when it came to Chicago? I actually just saw it not too long ago when it came to Chicago.
I did, but I was way younger. I was probably 9 or 10 or something. And the first ones I saw were Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis.
Oh yeah.
Miss Saigon. But you know, at the time we didn't have a Hamilton so much to go see. It was more kind of that traditional.
Oh, and I love me a good traditional. I mean, however, I fell asleep when I first saw Phantom of the Opera. Sorry.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, it's a different kind of, and when you're young, you don't really get it.
No, I mean, I was 20-something. I just saw it like 2 years ago for the first time. I mean, I've always loved the Phantom songs and Christine songs.
Sure.
But everything else in between, I was just like, I can't do this.
Yeah, you're just waiting for the chandelier come swinging down. And then after that,
that's
you're like,
it.
I'm out.
Yeah. Give me a boat and some fog and I'm okay. Everything else, got to go bye-bye.
Right. Now, you also have a little song out there, and I think it might be with Jamal from the cast. I don't know, but it's called Reborn.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. My catalog.
Here, hold on. Let me remind you of it. It goes a little something like this. Used to try to put me locked up. I ain't dropping no rubber. Your girl was riding me emotion.
Yes.
Does that ring a bell?
That rings a huge bell. So okay, quick backstory. So so shout out to Jay Hassan is what he goes by with his music career. So shout out to Jay Hassan and Phil. Phil was also a part of the cast when I first joined. He played Man 5, but he also covered Mulligan Madison and Hamilton on Sundays when Miguel was not there. So all three of us, we used to do music back in the day separately before we met each other. And somehow when we all linked up together, I was kind of like their producer at first, and we just created a bunch of songs together. They have an EP coming out next month, actually. And okay. I've like co-produced a few songs off of that. And Reborn was just one of those songs that Phil actually brought to us. And he was like, y'all are my boys. I want y'all to write a verse to it. We drank
a
lot.
That was the verse I feel like I'm allowed to say, because I think there's some other lines that, as a white woman in the suburb, would not be okay for repeating.
They are very explicit. My boys are very explicit. I think I have the cleanest rap on there. I'm at the end of the song for anybody who wants to go listen to it. And I think that's probably the closest you'll get to Mulligan that I have done as far as music-wise. Because we all just got on there, wrote like just a mean show-off type rap, because pretty much the whole song is about how you can't fuck with us because our life is about to start right now.
Yeah, so. There's something about middle school, someone carrying a clarinet. I was trying to figure out the lyrics that I could actually like pick up, because you guys sing so quickly that I'm like, okay, I got the locked up part.
But shout out to Phil. That's Phil's song. So that's Phil, and me and Jay Hassan are featured on it. But yeah, I guess I do have a catalog out there. It's a little bit of everything.
Oh, it's all linked together. You pull you up and there it is.
There it is.
Okay, so I got two quick kind of Hamilton-y questions, and then we're going to dive into this Love After Lockup, which was the first time you saw this show.
First time I saw the show. Yeah, I'm excited. But what's up? What's the two questions?
How many times did you see Hamilton before you auditioned? This is a listener question.
Yeah, no, I love this question. I get asked this a lot, and I'm going to answer this in the most humble way that I can. I did not see Hamilton before I was cast. I made a vow not to see the show before I was cast, and this is why. It's too damn expensive. I know it is.
Yes.
And when it first came out, you know, I was in college when it first came out, and I just knew I was going to be in it. Originally, I wanted to be Burr. But all of my friends thought, you know, no, you're definitely a Mulligan Mass, definitely a Mulligan Mass. I'm like, listen, as long as the brother gets cast and gets paid, I'm out.
Yeah.
But I was looking up tickets because we were actually going to New York my senior year of college to audition and do workshops. And I was like,
oh gosh,
see it. But tickets were so expensive. And I was like, you know what? I'm making a vow not to see it until I got cast. And so just so happens the workshop we were doing, audition in front of one of the casting directors who is from the casting house for Hamilton. And I did the song Glory for anybody who's seen the movie Selma. It's from that soundtrack, and it's a song by John Legend and Common. And then the casting director was like, oh, you're smart. You know what you're doing. I said, I know I am. Yes, I do. And a week later, I got back to college and got an email to send in a videotape. And then long story short, a year and a half later, went through seven rounds of auditions. And then the first thing I asked my agent for was a free ticket to see the show. So I saw the show for the first time when I got cast.
Oh, that's incredible. It is very expensive. I mean, you really got to be on it to find.
You do. I mean,
I'm sure Chicago is more reasonable than New York, but.
Believe it or not, we're the most reasonable, and I think we're still expensive. So
it's expensive. Like I said, this is my daughter's Christmas present. I'm like, that's it. Yeah. That's all mom and dad are getting this Christmas. It.
And so I say that to say very blessed to be where I am, but also like thank you to everybody who buys tickets to come see us. We do not take it for granted. We know how expensive it is. Yeah.
So it's so worth it. Oh my gosh. It really is life changing. You guys are amazing. Okay. So here, Chicago wise, we're speaking of Chicago. One of my listeners, Meg, she wants to know, I'm sure you get this a lot. What's your favorite thing about Chicago, and what won't you miss? Even if it's a favorite restaurant, just whatever.
What will you miss? Oh man. Okay. That's a good question. Thank you for being positive and negative, Meg. Yeah. What I love most about Chicago, and I'm actually going to be around for a bit after the show. So like that one, that's okay. But what I will miss when I officially leave, will probably be the fact, right now I wake up downtown and I can like look at water, but also look at big buildings. And then I can go to Bucktown, like Wicker Park area, and it's all residential. So I just kind of love the cultural and like agricultural aspect. Am I saying that right now? Architectural aspect of Chicago. Yeah. I love that part. So I'm probably going to miss the vibe of it. I'm not going to miss the cold. Granted, I went to college in South Dakota, so it's no colder than that. Yeah. So, but I really do love Chicago, but I'll say the cold. Final answer.
Yeah. Yeah, it
It's
sucks.
bad.
It sucks. And then are you going to head back to
So
Texas,
right
right?
now, I'm probably going to head back to New York. I'm really just waiting for where the next gig kind of takes me. We're actually in the middle of quite a few auditions this week, actually. Like on my table right now, I'm looking at a script that I have to send in by tomorrow. So I have that, and then we're auditioning for a show this weekend. So yeah, we're all over the place. So wherever the next gig takes us is where we're going to go.
Oh, well, you'll do awesome. We know that. Okay, now because you're, let's get into it. You're an expert in lovers and heartbreakers.
I
Yeah, I'm very clever. See what I did there. So I thought Love After Lockup would be perfect, and this was kind of wrapping up the season, the episode that you watched. And I don't even remember how we connected, somewhere on Instagram, but you were a reality TV fan.
Yes, I'll tell you how we connected. You gave us a shout out when you came to the show, and it was your profile picture that struck me. I was like,
Oh, God.
what?
I know. In retrospect, I should have named it something else.
And I was like, wait a minute. So then I creeped and I checked it out, and I was like, oh, she's a huge like reality TV buff. Let me like reach back out. And so it just kind of like linked up in that way. And then
Okay.
out of nowhere, I was like, I love reality TV. I love trashing it. And you were watch. I think I saw in your bio, Married at First Sight, which is one of my favorites
Oh,
that me and my
yes.
mom used to watch. Yeah.
Yes, so
So
good.
yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, we can connect. Let me hop on that podcast. Let's trash talk some shows. And so that's where I'm at.
Yes. Yeah, no, I don't have people who are actually on the show on here because I talk a really good game just shit talking them, but if they
Yeah.
were on here, I'd be like, "Hello, you're my favorite." I wouldn't be able to do it. So, yeah,
Oh.
no, it's all about trashing them here. What are
Yeah.
your some of your favorites or your earlier
Oh man,
shows that you would watch?
I used to watch some trash. I used to watch Flavor of Love. I love New
Oh,
York.
yes.
I used
The spit when she hawked a loogie at a New York pumpkin.
or when the girl just took a dump on the stairs. Like I do you remember?
Oh.
Like, 'cause she didn't have no panties on, so the doo-doo just dropped, and I was like, "You doo-dooing, girl, you doo-dooing." Or I used to watch what's Rock of Love. Right now, I watch Are You the One? That gets me going on MTV. The Bachelor, of course, Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay.
Yeah,
That's a big one.
yeah.
I love that show.
Also, what is it? Marriage Counselor Boot Camp? Is that one?
Oh, Marriage Boot Camp. Yeah, then
Marriage
there's
Boot
like
Camp.
Family Boot Camp and all those.
Yes. Yeah, so
Yeah.
I used to, before my life turned around, I was really deep into some reality TV. So those are some of my old school favorites.
It's such a great way just to mindless entertainment. You know,
Oh,
you don't
yeah.
have to think. And if you miss an episode, you're fine because you're going to fight in the next one. Yeah.
Yes, it's always going to be something that they're going to fight about. I mean, it was so funny. I was watching this episode and I was like, okay, let me pay attention. I took this long list of notes.
I know you're so good.
And then I sat there and I was like, damn, reality TV has not changed. No matter where you jump in, you know what happened before because they bring it up again.
Because somehow society is getting worse. You know, like you think we would have evolved, but no, we're just the same. All right, so I'm gonna kind of just go couple by couple. We can talk as much or as little as we want about them. I'm gonna start with Angela and Tony, and really the third member of their relationship, her snaggletooth right in front. This is the older lady who talks like this. I mean, she just like eats cigarettes morning, noon, and night. And this guy. Okay, so what you have missed previously was that she met him when he was locked up. He got out, and then he went AWOL and went back in. So now this is his second time out.
What I don't like, and I'm probably jumping way ahead, but I
No,
don't
please
like
do.
that he was like therapy, but I think he's banging in a motel. So there's a
What was I know?
I'm just listen, I saw that and I said, okay, so let's rewind. Your therapy is what? After you just
Yeah.
proposed with, was that Andre Champagne he proposed with?
Well, there was actually a Welch's sparkling grape juice because I zoomed in. This is like this is what I get off on life is like zooming in the tiniest of details. And just as they zoomed in on the grape juice, yeah, in like Andre's $4.98 special at Jewel Osco, he said, "She's taking care of me. She deserves nothing but the best." And I was like, "Well, what, $10 or less?
Yeah, I think I was thrown so far off with these two. These two, first of all, just backwoods. It's just not what I think she deserves. And I hate to say that because I don't know what she deserves, but I don't think it's that. I don't.
The fact that she's living in this. I don't know whether it's a trailer or not, and nothing against people who live in trailers, but if you can afford this motorcycle to give him, wouldn't you want to like get something that's not on wheels?
I just think if she can afford her time to give him, she can afford a lot more. Because I listen, when you are that nervous to meet this guy who you've been with at a park, I don't think you're supposed to be with him.
Right. If you're afraid in public.
Right. If you are afraid while you got 50 million cameras with you to meet him in the park because you don't trust him, I don't think you
Yeah.
need to be with him. Which also brings me to he proposes and then leaves right away to go to a motel. And then the
Right.
phone call was the creepiest phone call that I've ever heard at the
Because,
end.
yeah, this whoever he's probably paying to meet him in the hotel here
Yes.
is listening in. Yes, I'm at therapy is going great. Whenever you talk to someone and they're repeating the question that you just asked in order to answer, something's up.
Sum this up. It's not going too hot. So,
Or when someone calls you by your first name. Like when you're talking to your girlfriend, if she's like, "Hello, Ebrin," it's you normally you just don't
yeah,
talk like
you
that.
don't talk like that. It just gets kind of weird. And I mean, they're weird. So I don't know what I really expected. I thought I should expect, he proposed, so they're gonna, be good. And then he proposes, and it's bad. So
Well,
I'm
they're
not
still
sure.
together, I think,
Yes.
because actually she commented on one of my Instagram posts. Again, I was ripping on her house inside because she has a table and a chair, like an office chair, and it backs up to the stove in her kitchen. So I was saying like it's her kitchen office, and she's like, "Ha ha, Tony," or "Ha ha, Tony, it really is." And I was like, "Oh no, honey, like I'm not complimenting you, just."
Oh, I have no compliments for Tony or Angela. I have no thoughts about Tony or Angela except get a new life, get a new wife, get a new husband, and get a new motel because even that motel was terrible. So
Yeah.
every
Don't go in there with some
yeah.
luminol and a black light.
No,
No.
no. I mean, first of all, this is actually, first of all, I don't know who would want to meet him in a hotel besides somebody who's paying. So he got to be paying somebody. And two, when you have to tell the cameraman, I need you to stop. I need you to stop right here. Please just stop. I'm going to go in by myself for my therapy appointment. So please
Right.
just hold back. No, hold back.
Yeah, hourly.
Yeah,
They
sorry.
meet people at hotels.
Yeah, I'm like, sign me up for that therapy just so I can see what's going on inside that room. Please just let me know
Yeah.
so I can see. But that was weird. Angela and Tony
Speaking
are
of a motel, if you're into documentaries on Netflix, there is an amazing documentary called Voyeur, and it's a guy who owned a motel, and I'm not going to give anything away, but holy shit, if you're into that, you got to watch it.
Is he just watching people in the hotel?
Maybe from the ceiling, and he owned this motel for like 30 years.
We're gonna have to do an episode on that because I'm about to watch that because that's just creepy
It's
all in and of itself.
ins it's cr and there's lots of twists in it and all that kind of stuff, so that's crazy. Little tidbit for you. Would you like to know what Angela does for a living?
Yeah, please let me know. Please fill me in on these people.
She's a mental health therapist.
Sorry, listeners. For those of you who don't know, we're looking at each other right now. We're Skyping, so she saw my face. I'm dead. I have no words. So why is he going to
Right.
be somewhere else?
I don't know, but the bigger question is, who is going to her as a therapist? Like, if you made a therapy appointment, you sit down and Angela's sitting across from you.
I mean, now listen. I think from what I saw from one episode. She definitely has a beautiful
Soul.
soul.
Right. Sure.
That's what I
Sure.
got. So I don't think I want my therapist to look like her. And this is also a very funny thing.
Or just the judgment that you're looking for an inmate to marry. I mean,
But let me tell you why I think I'm okay with her being a therapist. Maybe this is just what's normal. So when I was looking
okay.
for a therapist to go to, I'm in therapy like right now. And when I was looking for one to go to, there was this website that you can look at in Chicago. They
Yeah.
picked the worst pictures to put up of themselves.
Oh, God, I know.
Therapist people are not, I don't want to call people ugly, but they're not the best looking people. They are terrifying. So luckily I found somebody who did not look terrifying. She had a decent like professional picture, but
Yeah.
Listen, Angela fits in with the rest. So Angela, do you That's boo, true. Be ugly, be true, and help mentals, help.
Maybe it. Go visit that therapist at the motel.
You yeah, know? It, link up.
it could be, yeah, but, I mean, group therapy, couples I mean, therapy.
Clearly the therapy ain't working on her husband because he's going somewhere else to get it. So maybe this is not what she needs to be doing. Rethink your life. Rethink your wife and rethink your life. That's my hashtag.
Oh, I love that. That's going to be your new show. That's your new album right there.
Rethink your wife, rethink your life.
That's right. You're going to have a huge male audience. Okay, let's talk about Vincent and Amber. Vincent's bald. We saw him in the gym working out. And Amber is the one who has a prison wife named Puppy.
Okay, so these folks are weird. They confuse me. They didn't get totally. Much camera time, and I understand why. First of all, who's Puppy? Who's married to who? What's going on with these people?
Amber's mom and her friend, Puppy, were all in prison together. I mean, very heartwarming story. Mother and daughter together. I mean,
This is a regular episode of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with Daya, right?
Yeah.
So they were in prison. Vince contacted Amber looking for someone to date, except he actually, I swear to God, I'm not even making this up. I didn't even think about this till this moment. He was going by the name Hercules.
Don't give us a bad name. Please don't give us a bad name.
I swear to God, this is true. He slipped on something and he's like, oh, my real name is Vincent. He's thinking they're going to get married. And so he's trying to be affectionate, like, oh, we're together. And instantly, she's all weird, and she's talking about her prison wife named Puppy, who she's saying is her friend, but like in this episode, she's saying it's her wife.
Yeah, she said wife. Yeah, that's
their girlfriend. They're girlfriends, whatever. So what we found out in a previous episode is that she was never in love with Vince. Puppy, her mom, and Amber had this plan that Vincent was going to claim that he was adopting a puppy and Amber because he works something for the government and he could get like $200 more a month if he had dependents. So he adopted Puppy and he was going to adopt Amber. So she's saying like he was going to scam us, but we were scamming him. So, oh, it all cancels out. No big deal.
Okay, none of that makes sense. So I got a question.
It doesn't. They need to go talk to Tony's therapist.
Yeah, go talk to Angela. That's what they should go do. So I heard this, I wrote this down. Vincent was the key to the future. What was the future with Puppy, Amber, and Vincent? Why was he the key to it? Because Amber said, no, he ain't. And so, but Puppy is convinced he was the key to the future.
That he was going to have money, that he would help fund their future, and that if she could just scam him along long enough and she marries him and he would, you know, just be giving her money. So that would help Puppy and her mom.
You know, this show really makes me not want to go to prison, talk to people from prison, have hope about the prison system. I don't have hope for any of these people. I think if that's what the key to the future is, then I don't want to be a part of that future. That's for sure.
And Vince is weird. Vince has never had...
They didn't even show him. They just showed him running on a treadmill.
That's basically all we know about him. That's all he does. And he said he's never really had a girlfriend, like ever. So there's something weird with it. I could see someone who doesn't date a lot, but to never have even the smallest relationship, something's weird.
But that's probably because he was the girlfriend in prison. Let's be real, okay?
Oh, you think he might have been in?
I think he might have been. I think Amber might have known, and that's why Amber's like Puppy. Or also, why is the name Puppy?
I don't know. See, this is my theory. I know nothing about prison except what I watch on 60 Days In. And Jailbirds is another great show on Netflix.
I've heard about Jailbirds.
Oh, they make prison like potty pasta and wine, and they talk to each other through a toilet.
Through a toilet, yeah, I saw that.
I think I might have recapped that a while ago. It all blends together. But what was I going to say? Oh, I think they call her Puppy because she was Amber's bitch. Like, you're my bitch, and a younger bitch is a puppy.
Oh,
like a bitch is a female dog. I don't know. This is my former teacher life. I was an elementary teacher in another lifetime. This is me trying to like figure out down the line where they get the nicknames. I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, what I wrote at the end of that segment was confused .. Like that was
pretty much,
cause they didn't get much camera time this episode for people who like saw it. I mean, it was, and I was, cause I think I was so into, The Lacey John and Shane. Can't wait to talk about
we're
that.
We're saving them. We're saving the best for last. Yeah.
Can't wait to talk about that. You know, I was into them and I was into Angela and Tony, you know, all the main ones. Oh, and one of my favorites that I can't wait to talk about, Cheryl and Josh and Lizzie and Daniel. When they showed Vincent and Amber, I was just like, please get off the screen. This is not.
They were boring.
They were just boring. So next.
Okay. Done. Okay, well, let's get Cheryl and Josh out of the way, because they were another boring one. This is the one that brought her to this weird castle.
You thought they were boring? I got my fucking life with these people.
Okay, tell me everything.
Listen, I thought this was the most funniest thing out there, besides the rock being thrown later on. You know what I'm talking about. I thought this was the funniest part. This guy thought she was going to love this castle so much.
He definitely jerked off on the side of that castle. Like, he's one of those people that loves inanimate objects.
Oh my gosh. And he thought this was going to be the end all be all. He had the ring that she brought for herself. I said, oh, this guy is ready. And then she got up there and said, well, this shit ain't safe. I don't want to have my wedding
here.
Well,
what was that? It was like an amusement park climbing apparatus.
Honestly, when they did the first pan shot to it, it looked like a prison, because all I saw was the barbed wire hanging at the top.
Yeah.
So at first, I was like, oh, somebody's playing a trick on me with this show. You're telling me he wants to get married at a prison-themed castle. Somebody got to stop this. And then I think when the two people who owned it came up and they were like, also confirmed how it's not safe, I said, what?
Yeah, what? Not only is it not safe, but there's going to be the public that's visiting, just walking through. You guys aren't going to have a problem with that, right?
Party Crashers at its finest. If I was standing there, just imagine, I would just be like, well, come on, sit down and join the party. Why don't you? What's your name? You want to get married too? But I don't think
there's some kid walking through, like picking his nose, like mom.
Just
no.
people crying, eating popcorn, somebody playing a sword fight in the castle. Like it's just stuff that I was just like, listen, if you into it, you into it. Clearly Cheryl wasn't.
No.
She showed it.
I don't think she's into eating food at all either, because I've never seen a thigh gap in my life. My entire body could just stand in between her legs. Listen. She's so skinny. I'm jealous. I'm not going to lie. They're a mess.
Her legs look like the cigarette that she was smoking. That is for sure. Like, that is.
Yeah. No, she's got three kids back home that she hasn't seen. Yeah, she left her kids for like 2 or 3 months with her parents. And he was in prison for robbing banks. He's a bank robber.
Nothing about this man says bank or rubber.
I know.
Everything about him says dumb and dumber. That is literally what that says to me. A bank robber?
Yeah, he robbed banks. Yep. He went in with a mask, robbed banks.
Still couldn't pay for a ring for her. She had to pay for her own ring.
Yep. They're totally stupid. I think he's more into his mom. I think he and his mom, like, they're the kind that she, I mean, maybe not all the time, but if he's thirsty, she might still breastfeed him.
Oh, ew.
There's a weird closeness there. I'm telling you, there's a weird closeness. And I have a son. He's my little baby. He always will be. But there's something weird about their bond.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't. There's a titty you shouldn't be sucking on, and that's your mom at a certain point. I just don't think that's what needs to be happening with them. Yeah, I mean, I do get a sense of him just like not being all there, because I felt bad for the prison man for a little bit. Fellas, hear me out on this, fellas. You take your girl who you know you want to marry, you know she wants to marry you, to a place that y'all know y'all want to get married.
You can't afford medieval times, but you're going to find the next best castle.
But you're going to find the next best castle that looks like it used to be a prison, because prison is how we met, babe. So. When you take her there and you're like, this is it. I got the ring that you bought, that I know you wanted because you bought it.
Yep.
And she goes, motherfucker, I don't want this. This ain't safe. I don't want people eating popcorn, drinking Slurpees, crying for their mama while you're saying I do. So I felt bad for him just a little bit.
Okay.
And then he went off and didn't care. Yeah, he did. And I think he called her a dumbass chick is what I wrote. And I was just like, oh, wait, you took this way too far.
But what I would give to be that wedding planner or that
Hell
person
no.
who runs. Oh, I would love to witness that interaction in real life. That would be
They walk
probably right up
away
there
at a
with the birth
certain.
of my children. Like watching this, like, oh my God, this guy was going to propose and now they just broke up.
And now they just
I would
broke up.
love it.
But supposedly in the ending credits, they got back together. She's back in Texas, and I did a little sneak peek of next season when it comes out, and they're going to be planning their wedding. They're
Because
upset.
she's that girl that's like, oh, well, I already invested 3 years of my life. I might as well just torture him for the rest of mine.
I think she's being tortured. I do think that she is being tortured. The minute, because this at the end of the day, both of their feelings got hurt. Both of them didn't get what they wanted. And if you're not getting what you wanted for 3 years, I think you should throw it away. Just like she's throw away that cigarette, that was not cute. Also, just like she made the cameraman throw the cameras out the car, that was not cute.
Like, let him get down the turret first. Jesus.
She
It's
said, "Come on."
unsafe.
She said, "Get your shit, bitches. Get your shit. Get out of my car. I don't want y'all here. Go up there on that castle."
Ugh. You know, they're like, oh, Jesus, now we're stuck here in Utah. What the fuck? Okay, let's
Worst place. Worst place to
oh,
be stuck. Worst place.
where are we? Oh, Lizzie and Daniel. Okay, let's talk about them. Daniel is the kid with the
A
cart
lot of.
on top of his car.
Yeah, fellas, I got a lot to say about this one, man. Listen, if you know you about to get married and you broke and you just got out of prison and your mama brought the ring, you bet not even spend $300 on a used car, let alone $7,500.
Now, the ring that his mom bought, did you catch how much they paid for it?
That I didn't. That's what I want to hear. How much is that?
Okay, yeah, get your pen ready. There's a whole lot of writing to do. $200.
Well,
And he wants it back. That $200 ring, I want it back.
oh, not only did he want it back, but and this is where I get into mad at reality TV, because this is all staged, right? Because they stayed in that one spot for whoever knows how long, and then
Yeah.
mom just shoots out of nowhere and
Yep.
it's like, give me the ring, girl, give me the ring. And she's at, but the funniest thing about this whole thing is not only him buying the car for 7,500 and not caring,
Which
but
he will never pay his aunt back. He will never get that entire amount.
no, but he also said it was more important than the wedding.
And the friend's like, oh, she's gonna be so mad. And he's like, so? Oh, okay. Yeah, sounds good.
when I hear. And fellas, you just should never say this to anybody you love or want to marry. But if you tell somebody buying this car will help you stay clean, sober, and is more important than being married to you gotta go. He has to go. Him and his mama both gotta go. His mama rubbed me the wrong way.
That's another one that there's a weird.
That's just weird.
Every mom is going to be protective over their son. And
Yeah.
listen, I may need to edit that out.
Oh no, no edits, no edits, no edits.
Listen, a lot of people might have some crazy in-laws, but you gotta let your kids figure their own thing out at a certain point. You cannot be getting in a relationship, because the more you try to push your child away from that person, the more they're going to go to him.
Where they're gonna
It
go?
happens every time. It never ever will work out that way.
And whatever that relationship is just it's just weird. It's just weird. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. I don't want to see it. Also, $200 for the ring, Ma. That's how much you're gonna put
200.
down on that, and you want that back? Just ask her for the money. Don't get the ring. Ask for the money.
Or if you really hate her, then that's a $200 well spent. Bye. Take the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Peace out. I'm out of here.
Out. That was just wild to me. I mean, but and then she got the rock thrown at her and said it hit the bottom of her foot because she called her an alcoholic. You can't do that to people.
Now, between the two of them, who do you think would win that fight, Lizzie or Mother Daniel?
I think Lizzie would. Lizzie was smart. Lizzie said, "Mom, I ain't fucking with you." Because listen, the way Lizzie turned around when she got called an alcoholic, I
I was
thought.
not ready for that. I was like, oh shit.
Listen, I thought the mama was going to meet Jesus that minute. I'm telling you, that girl said, "Whoo!" Like, if they could have put a dog bark with that turn at that moment, my life would have been made. I did not expect her to flip out. I wasn't expecting her to be an alcoholic. She seemed so sweet. She was one of the most normal looking people
I
on the
think she
show.
was before Daniel went to prison.
Oh.
I think she was, but she's in school and all this kind of stuff now. But you don't just, I did not expect her to do that. I would not do that. I'd dive into a car head first and get the hell out of there. I would not be turning around. I mean, like, what'd you say? Because,
Listen, that hit a nerve. She wasn't expecting it. You could tell that wasn't scripted. That wasn't in the script. That wasn't in the
no.
mentions. That wasn't in the comments. She
They
was
probably said, oh, stay out here. And then, of
yeah.
course, they went inside and they're like, hey, whatever her name is, Donna, Diana, get the hell out there. She's
Yeah,
still out there.
she's
Go
still out
confront her.
there. And then she said, yeah, alcoholic. Whoa. What'd you just say? Pick up rock, throws the rock, hits the bottom of the foot. I literally laughed out loud. I was not expecting, because she was so sweet the whole scene. Like, she was so sweet. She was like, fine, you don't want to be with me. Like, she was actually pretty normal. I thought, honestly, a bizarre situation with normal people is what that really seemed like for the first time in the show.
I also think it's important to note he was an addict before. Since the previous episode, he has lost a lot of weight. I do not think he
Oh.
is sober at all. I think he's back on meth, and that's why he was
Well, they
so
also said,
skinny.
was he? No, he's not the one who went back to jail, but he, I mean, that's sad. That's all I'll say about that. That's just,
Yeah.
if you got to have that look, first of all, nothing against finding somebody in prison or marrying somebody in prison. Everybody need love, but also be selective of who you're going for in prison and vice versa. Prison folks, stop going for what you think is going to be a weak person and who you're going to be able to control when you get out.
Okay, which is a perfect transition actually to move to our next couple, Glorietta and Alex.
Oh, bullshit. This couple's just bullshit. Let him go. He thought he was something. Also, this Juliana has to be an actress or a model from somewhere else, because
You think so?
they paid her way too much to come. You think Alex can pull that after looking at Glorietta?
Well, they knew each other. They dated before.
Hell no. I don't believe
You
it.
don't think so?
I don't, unless he looked different in a different life. You can't tell me he pulled Juliana like that. Juliana was pretty attractive, I
I
think.
thought so too. I thought she was
Yeah.
really pretty. When he said he
Yeah.
was interested in an ex in a previous episode, I was ready for something
Glorietta
that.
Part Five. That's what I was ready for.
Exactly. And then I was like, oh, she's kind of normal. What the hell's going on? Alex, I cannot stand. There's like a whole delegation of people that thinks that he's sexy and attractive. And every part of him just, there's parts of me that just are cringing looking at him. Ugh.
Yeah,
Okay, well, hold on. Take my feelings out of it. Let's just come from a musical perspective. Musically speaking, as someone who is well trained,
thank you.
Alex's talent in singing, would you say you would want him to do background vocals for you anytime soon?
Listen, I heard that little clip, and what I wrote is, why is Alex singing something about being from prison, 15 seconds of fame? I thought he was trash. I thought that was trash. I don't want him singing for me. I don't want him talking for me. I think his voice, I cringe. That is a cringy man. If you, he looks
Everything's
like,
always like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, baby? Yeah, it
yeah,
was.
I like his voice to me just sounded like Michael Jackson on crack on the street. Like, it just
He
didn't.
sings observations.
Yeah.
I am looking at the wall, calendar days, Glorietta. I mean, there's like nothing, there's nothing melodic. There was no
No.
hook. There was no, I don't know
No,
what you call
and
these musical things, refrains. It was
no,
just.
it was just blood. Like, he just started singing, I just want to be free from prison. Free.
Juliana had his number because she looked at him and she goes, "What was that?" I'm like, "Same. What was
What
that?
was that? Like, he, I'm sorry.
A
I,
song?"
no, it's not a song. It's an Alex. That's what it is. Alex has
Oh,
his
I
own
like
genre.
that.
It's an
That's
Alex.
an Alex.
That's an Alex. No, there's, I listen,
Oh,
I
I love it.
this is the thing about bad singers. They're in their own little world. They think they sound amazing. So you just call them.
Everin, my mom belongs to a seniors show choir group with the Park District over here. No, she just does it for fun. She's like the youngest whippersnapper in the group, and my mom's like 76. There are some there's some singers in that group. Most of them are cute. A lot of them, this is their chance that they can do their solos, and it's not good.
Yeah.
There was one woman, I want to say her name was like Nancy, and she sang Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas last year. And all I wanted for Christmas was for her to like bring down the soprano a couple octaves because it was not good.
She's over there.
They are
like,
in their own. They're in their own world.
Yeah.
And you're like, who? How can you hear yourself and think that other people are going to enjoy this as well? Keep it in the shower.
Keep it in the shower. Just keep it shut. Don't even do it in the shower, because that's why you think you can sing. You sing in the shower, so you think you can sing. And I know we all sound pretty when the hot steam is just falling from the water, you know.
I would sing to my babies, and my kids put their hands up as infants over my mouth. I'm not even kidding.
At least you knew, because, and honestly, you want to know what really ruined this culture of having people think they can sing? Karaoke. I blame karaoke, because when it's 2 a.m. and we're all feeling good, we're all fucked up, and you put on your favorite song, mine, my go-to just so happens to be When Doves Cry, Purple Rain, and Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh.
My go-to.
Mine's Baby Got Back, but that's really not singing.
That's not singing. That's fun. See, choosing these singing, like, I've heard so many people do RESPCT, and when you're drunk, and then there's 50 million drunk.
And that's a long song.
And it's a long one, but nobody cares. Everything sounds good at 3 a.m.
Right, because you have nachos on the table. You're good. You got some guacamole.
Yeah, you're wonderful. You're so you're in your own little world. So Alex was just Alexing, and that's what that was. But I actually paused and moved to the next spot after that.
Glorietta.
My heart goes out to her.
She talks like this, and Alexander can take his Valentine's Day chocolate and shove it up his ass.
First of all, Valentine's with an N, not an M. And the Russell Stover chocolate that he absolutely picked up at CVS 3 minutes before he saw you.
Literally.
First of all, don't throw them away. Bring them home and eat them, for Christ's sake. I mean, what chocolate deserves that?
I think, but I'm going to tell you what I did like about her. Not her voice, but her voice against her mom's voice. And her mom's like, just her mom's
baby voice
out there. It's just, it's way
better. I think she's crazy religious. I'm not saying religion is bad, but I think she does this attitude thing, and then she's like, oh, well, God will forgive me. You know, like, I can act like a crazy bitch and then just say, oh, well, Jesus will forgive me, and Jesus doesn't want him to do that, and I can flip tables and throw glasses, but he loves me.
And boy, did she. She didn't care. And then she called herself a psycho at the end of it, and I was like, well, at least you know.
Well, she was laughing. Oh my God, I was psycho. It's like, oh my God, you are.
I'm like, damn, I saw that and I said, Glorietta, get your mama, girl, because y'all finna go to jail. Everybody finna be in prison from that one. That was a lot.
That would probably be a good place for Glorietta. She would be good on the inside. She'd have guys writing her all the time. That'd be the perfect place for her to meet.
I honestly, if Glorietta went to prison, I think she would be the head honcho. I think she'd be
pod boss.
Yeah, I think she'd be the HBIC. I think that's literally what she would be.
Really?
You
don't think she'd get eaten alive?
No.
Imagine Amber. Remember Amber and Vincent?
Yeah.
With Amber with puppy. Amber and Glorietta together. Glorietta's dying. She's dead.
I think Amber could eat a pack of wolves and be okay. There was something about Amber that was scary. Glorietta, I think she comes off sweet, but if that's her mama, she got a little bit of something in there that we ain't seen.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I could see that. Those crazy high voice ones, and all of a sudden they whip out a shiv, and you're like,
She's like, bitch, crazy. I'm gonna shake you. I'm gonna go. Don't you fucking make me? Don't you?
Wake up in the middle of the night, and she's like, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Oh, you know she's going to be hungry. Somebody better mail her some Twinkies real quick. That's the only way you're going to keep her happy in there. For real.
Okay, let's get to the bells of the ball. Lacey, Shane, and John. Okay, I'm straight up just going to say, I think Lacey is John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, whatever. Then Lacey is very quickly on that list. She's the worst.
I don't like her either. And I'll let you speak, but then I'll tell you why I don't like her. And all the fellas will agree with me on this. And the ladies might too.
Okay. Well, first let me ask you, does she look familiar to you at all?
She does, but only because it is all the plastic. Because honestly, because she didn't look, when they told me she was 29, I was like, ooh, you don't.
It's when you start messing with your face, you look older.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think that works for you. But am I supposed to recognize her? Like, she on porn? She a porn?
Yeah, star? She's like a cam girl porn, and she's got Shane doing it too.
Oh, really?
Yes, someone sent me very unsuspecting photos of her working. She was working. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, get this off my screen. I'm like, ooh.
Oh, no.
I mean, but it's not surprising. I mean, it's just how she kind of carries herself, which, listen, if it's legal and you are making money and that's how you support your kids, go for it. But she's just a terrible person in general. Yeah. I think she thrives on drama. I think she loves just the attention from guys.
Time out. I just thought about something. I love how you started off. Do you recognize her at all?
I was going to pin you,
down. You are not about to get me busted on this podcast today. I'm so glad that I...
You said no.
Yes. I'm so glad I treaded very lightly and played that off so smooth by being like, is she a porn artist or something?
Is she in that genre? What's the name? Starts with a P.
I'm sorry. Adult film is set.
Right.
I will say, like, disclaimer, if sex work is what you do and treat it well, make your money, honey. But when you are them, I don't think I would be into it. I don't think I could do that. She just rubs me a little bit the wrong way for a couple of reasons. You were saying something. Sorry, that just really threw me off.
Okay, wait a minute. Number one, I don't think from what we see, she's not around her kids a lot, but they're filming. So maybe she's around her kids all the time, whatever. I think she definitely pits men against men in order to get attention for herself.
Which is the number one reason I don't like her, yeah.
Yeah, she was married previously and she had three kids. She cheated on her husband at some point with who she calls, his name's John, but she always says like, Jean. Shun. She says it weird. So she cheated on her husband with Jean Valjean. And now that middle son might be his. And then she cheated on John with Shane, the guy with like the little puby beard. Mm-hmm. It's this like constantly cheating, pitting each other against, manipulating people.
Yeah.
And she's abusive. This is not the first time that she smacked John across the face. The day he got out of prison, in the prison parking lot, she smacked him across the face and she goes, I could send you back to prison. What are you going to do? And when she smacked him on the face at the beach with her kids there and then immediately was like, yeah, go ahead. What are you going to do? I would be calling the police and be like, arrest this bitch.
Yeah, she's crazy.
I don't care whether you're a woman or a man or whatever. Yeah. You don't just go smacking people across the face.
Yeah, keep your hands to yourself. But people like that, I'm not just going to say women like that, but people like that, they know what they're doing in that situation. You know, she knows what she's, and I hate to call him a weak man, but that guy's a bitch. Like, he.
Wait, which one? Shane? One she's marrying?
Both of them are bitches, if I'm being honest. But I'm talking about John, because John, I'm like, listen, bro, once she says she's marrying somebody else, peace. Get out of there. And once the kid ain't yours, get out of there.
But he didn't know yet.
But he found out this episode and he was still contemplating on going to the wedding. And I was like, why you fuck her?
The camera crew was like, oh, you want to go? She's getting married on the beach. Go ahead. She's getting married. But the fact that she waited till she was in her wedding dress.
Yeah.
That's that kind of bitch where I'm like, you know what you're doing. You could have called him yesterday or the day before.
And that's the part I didn't like about it. I was like, what are you doing? Like, you know you're going to get him riled up. But she likes that. I think we're going to turn around next season and somehow he's going to come back and they're going to sleep
together.
She'll
cheat on Shane with him.
Yep, with him. Yeah. Because if I'm being completely honest, I think she wants John. I think she's just going to be okay with Shane. You know what I mean?
I think so too.
But I think she wants John. Because secretly, I think she wanted that baby to be John's, which is why she called him on the wedding day. Yeah. She wanted John to come stop that wedding.
Because then she could have that constant conflict and she could be like, so John wants me. I'm sorry, Shane. And that he's going to be like, you can't have my woman. And then she's going to be like, oh, I'm this damsel. Yeah. I'm distressed. What am I going to do?
That's what she wants. She thrives off that. Yeah, that wedding was, I'm glad they didn't show us the full thing, because I probably would have laughed and turned it off. But like, she's just one of those women that it's just like, you are going to piss off a lot of men and get yourself caught up in something that you don't know how to get out of. It doesn't surprise me, but I was laughing at Shane's friends. I thought one of Shane's friends was Shane's dad. That weird guy that was just sitting there during when they were chit chatting. I was just like, oh, that's his dad. And then it said John, Shane's friend. And I said, Wow, Shane. I said, you got to get some younger friends, bud. Because Shane.
Well, Shane is 21.
You lying.
Swear to God, he's 21. He went to prison for malicious wounding, I think, when he was like 17 or 18. Yeah, he like beat the shit out of some guy and like his eyeball popped out or something. I don't know.
Normal.
So I think in Lacey's mind, the fact that he's younger, she's 29, he's 21. Mm-hmm. He's like this little puppy dog that's like, oh, you're beautiful and you're hot and you're...
Oh, yeah.
He just kisses her ass and she loves that. But she's going to get tired of that when she's paying for everything.
He ain't got nothing.
Dicking around. He won't mow the lawn just like any teenage boy is not going to be mowing the lawn. And yeah, she'll be pissed because she's just gotten done doing a video and he's sitting out there playing Xbox.
She wants John. And I don't think she has that in Shane. And now that I know his age, she's getting rid of Shane within at least a year or two.
I could see that. She's going to cheat on him with John.
Oh, yeah. That's probably going to be the first episode back.
Yeah. I have a really great question. We're going to wrap up this recap of Love After Lockup. Of anyone in this Love After Lockup cast, if they were to get a show about the story of their life, who would it be? And what part would you want to play in this obviously Tony-bound extravaganza?
Oh,
I know that's
man.
A hard one.
Who deserves a show?
Okay, so we got Angela, Tony, Vincent, Amber, Cheryl, and Josh in his castle, Lizzie, Daniel, Gloria, and Alex.
Honestly, you know, my heart really leans to either Cheryl and Josh or Lacey, John, and Shane.
All right.
I think for like, just cause like my theatrical mind, I can write the hell out the story and there's a crazy story there. I think Lacey, John, and Shane would have to get the show. Yeah. I think they would have to.
Is she a lover or is she a heartbreaker?
Oh, she's the lead and she's loving and heartbreaking. Ooh. And that's what the story is about. So I got a title for it. Lacey, the Lover and the Heartbreaker, Adult Film Star Story. That's what the title is going to be. There it is. And so, there's a lot you can do with that. Yeah. And who would I play? Ew. I play her boobs. That's what I play. I play her boobs. There I am. I'm right there.
Her boobs are like her lips. Like you just come out with like two huge life rafts and you just.
Yeah, just. I'm just there with it. I'm just there with it. Yeah, I don't think I want to be an actual human in that story. I think I'm going to leave that for them. But I'll be a body part. I'll be a body part or the ring on her finger that's going to tell her, what you doing? Ooh. You should probably stop.
Like a magic
something
eight
like that.
Ball.
Yeah, like I'll make it some, you know, magical theatrical type shit.
Oh,
that's probably
I love
what I'll
it. Okay, well, Ebrin, where can everyone find you? What do you have coming up? You know, we can keep loving and not be heartbroken.
Oh, yeah. Always, always be a lover, y'all. And if you do get your heart broken, remember there's love again. So you can find me on Instagram at Ebrin R. Stanley. That's EbrinRStanley. It's also the same thing on Twitter. You can get my albums anywhere, my music anywhere on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Google Play, everything. As far as what's next, I'm closing Hamilton January 5th. And for more things, all things, please stay tuned to my social media where I will post and be expecting some Christmas music, some holiday music coming out very, very soon.
Yeah. And you have like shows in the Chicago area and clubs and stuff, right?
Yes, we do. So we're always performing somewhere. We just wrapped up two big concerts at the Basement. Another concert I believe I'm getting ready for. I'm opening up for this guy, Jose Ramos. He was a part of the original cast of Hamilton, Chicago, and he's coming back to do a holiday show. So we're in talks of me performing that December 15th in Chicago at the Shops. It's a bar. All ages are welcome. And then I'm doing some master classes around Chicago and whatnot. So if you got kids who wants to meet me and they're willing to pay for me to teach them some Hamilton stuff, hit me up.
Oh, awesome. That's what I
have coming up, and I'm in the middle of auditions. So, like I said, as far as like the theatrical world, just stay tuned, and we'll announce some stuff very, very soon.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
How amazing was that? Thank you once again, Ebrin. We're basically best friends at this point. I mean, I'll be seeing you tomorrow on stage. No big deal.
Also, a huge thank you to Julia, Nancy, Carol, and Jill, this week's and this month's newest Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much. Your goodies are on the way. And if you haven't already, make sure that you check out and subscribe to Say What She She Podcast. My good friend Sharita, who is a fellow Apple of ours, started a podcast. She had me on. We talked about 90 Day Fiancé, Love After Lockup, some Real Housewives. You got to head over there. We had far too much fun. Also coming up this week on Patreon, Eberyn was such a good sport. He stuck around. I answered all of your questions that you guys threw at me in the Facebook group, or rather, Eberyn answered them. And we just had a really good time on patreon.com/realitytvpod. Coming up this week on Total Request Podcast, one of my all-time favorite submissions. Thank you so much. The Osbournes. I'm leading this episode with Amanda, and it's the episode with the ham that gets thrown over the fence. If you watch The Osbournes, you know what I'm talking about. That's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. All the links to Eberyn's social media, Patreon pages, that's all in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you soon. I'll talk to you soon, and stay salty. She took my heart in the palm of her hands, and she squeezed, squeezed, squeezed just as hard as she can. And then she told me to take it like a man. Well, I don't think I really can. No, she's a heartbreaker. This goes out to all my heartbreakers. She is a heartbreaker. Heartbreaker, heartbreaker. She took my heart like the Undertaker. Take her. It's cool. Well, I guess I'm the fool, but that's cool. Cause I'ma make it do what it do. Forget you, I don't need you. So move along, go on, go on. She took my heart in the palm of her hands, and she squeezed, squeezed, squeezed just as hard as she can. And then she told me to take it like a man. Well, I don't think I really can. No, she's a heartbreaker. This goes out to all my heartbreakers. She is a heartbreaker, heartbreaker, heartbreaker. She took my heart like the Undertaker. Take her. Yeah, this is my song. I may be weak now, but tomorrow I'm strong. And I'll be moving now. And if you're feeling me, then help me sing along. She took my heart in the palm of her hands, and she squeezed, squeezed, squeezed just as hard as she can. And then she told me to take it like a man. Well, I don't think I really can. No, she's a heartbreaker. This goes out to all my heartbreakers. She is a heartbreaker, heartbreaker, heartbreaker. She took my heart like the Undertaker.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.